Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we are in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and to indwell you. Has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we must get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplications with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we are in your corner. So go wake up your wife. Go wake up your husband. Go wake up your children. Go wake up your son, your daughter, the niece, the nephew, everybody that's in your house, your grandbaby, your granddaughter, your grandson. Wake them all up. Let them know that in your corner is on the air. We're on the air now, y'all. Go wake them up now. Go wake them up. Well, let me go out here and get my roosters. Let me go get my roosters, because my roosters, they'll wake you up. Come on, roosters. Wake them up this morning. Y'all wake them up. Come on, roosters. Got to get my roosters to waken y'all up. Yeah. I know y'all saying that's going way back to the country. Well, that's where you from. You from the country. So I know the roosters can get you up. We had roosters before we even had alarm clock. So now y'all get on out of the bed, sleepy head. Get on out of the bed, sleepy head. Well, I know what I'm going to do. Thank you, rooster, this morning, but I'm going to get a good song. I'm going to go back and get one of Shirley Caesar's old song here. Thank you, roosters. Yeah, let me get Shirley Caesar. This is an old song. She called this song, I Feel Like Praising Him. Listen now. But you gotta realize, if old John was here, we had in church this morning. Going through, he looked back at that old mule and said, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold the mule. I feel like shouting right now. Somebody, I feel like praising, praising him. Well, help me out, y'all. Oh, I feel like praising, praising him. Praising in the morning. Praising in the morning. Praising all day long. Shall I feel like I feel like praising him? Listen, listen. I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have chance. Well,
sing it like we used to, Lord. I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance. You know, we didn't have a lot of music. Come, oh,
I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance.
I like that. Come on, praise him in the morning.
right. That was Shirley Caesar singing with the gospel legends. I feel like praised in him. What about you this morning? Do you feel like praising him? You need to praise him in the morning and praise him all day long. I feel like praising him. That was Shirley Caesar singing along with the gospel legends right here on In Your Corner this morning. All right, now it's time to read the Bible. Time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. And we're going to be reading out of the New Testament book of Galatians. The New Testament book of Galatians, beginning with chapter 1 through chapter 4, reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
The book of Galatians. Sent not with a human commission, nor by human authority, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let that person be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let that person be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any human source, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and, meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by human effort? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by your observing the law, or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, "Whoever does these things will live by them." Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, "and to seeds," meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in His grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was put in charge of us until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as heirs are under age, they are no different from slaves. Although they own the whole estate, they are subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by their fathers. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since you are His children, He has made you also heirs. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus Himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born as the result of human effort. but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. I am taking these things figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, "Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born by human effort persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman."
All right. That was our scripture reading this morning. We read out of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 through Galatians chapter 4. May God bless those who have heard and read His holy word. Right now, it's prayer time. It's prayer time. Come on, mama, daddy, sister, brother, niece and nephew. Come on, family. Let's hold hands. Let's gather around. Let's make our family circle. This is the family altar time. It's time to pray. Come on, whatever is wrong, God can make it right. Come on, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you for giving us another wonderful day. A day we did not earn, a day we did not even merit. But it was by your amazing grace you have saw fit to give us this day. Thank you, dear God, for our last night laying down, our early morning rising. Thank you, dear God, for a portion of health and strength. Thank you, dear God, for just all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, that we have eyes and we can see. Thank you, Lord, you've given us feet that we can walk. You've given us mouths that we can talk. Gave us ears that we can hear. Thank you, dear God, for just giving us another wonderful day. Thank you, dear God, for giving us good jobs to have. Thank you, dear God, for giving us good schools that we can go to and learn. Lord, we want to pray for the teachers in the schools. We pray for all the students in the schools. We pray for the parents, dear God. We just pray that the parents, the teachers, the students, all of them can be on one accord. We pray the same thing, dear God, on our jobs. We pray that the workers and the co-workers and the managers and supervisors and presidents and vice presidents of these corporations, everybody can be on the same page. Everybody can be on one accord. And Lord, we even pray for our country. We pray for our leaders that you'll lead and guide and direct them in the way that you would have them to go, that their decisions would be decisions that you want them to make, dear God, that their decisions can be of the Lord. Now, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Bless your people with the blessing they stand in need of, whether it's a physical, spiritual, mental, financial. Lord, whatever your people are standing in need of, would you be so kind and bless your people. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And for his sake we ask these things. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's it. That's it. We done had our prayer. We done sung our song. And we done read our scriptures. In other words, we done had devotion. Now, I want you to go back and read those scriptures again. That was Galatians chapter 5, verse number 4. And you meditate on it. Pick out one scripture or something and meditate on that all day long. And let that get in your spirit, all right? All right. Let me also encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room, where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in our book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preached at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irvin, Texas. A wonderful church in Irvin, Texas. If you're ever in this area, you've got to stop by and worship with us at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you miss any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So In Your Corner will be rebroadcast at 12 and at 6. Ghostbusters will be rebroadcast at 1 and 7. The Situation Room will be rebroadcast at 2 and 8. A Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 3 and at 9. Unshackled will be rebroadcast at 4 and 10. And A Deeper Look in the Book will be rebroadcast at 5 and 11. So listen to us all day long. Go and tell a friend. Go tell a neighbor. Go tell your husband, your wife, your niece, your nephew. Tell Baby and Boo Boo Nam that you have found a wonderful internet radio station on KLITB, and we are In Your Corner.